Chapter 1. Daisy. I was cold. Bitterly cold. I'd never been so cold in my life. If I ever survived this, I'd put a pot-bellied stove in every room of my house, or wear wool stockings even in the summer. I had long lost feeling in my fingers and toes, my dress and coat beginning to stiffen and freeze. I crawled across the snowy ground, making it only a few feet from the river's edge. At first, the shock of the water had taken the air from my lungs, but it also spurred me right out of it. It was too late. I was wet from head to toe. My horse that had tossed me stood placidly beside the bank, his warm nose nuzzling me. My teeth chattered loudly, otherwise I would have scolded the animal for being skittish and unseating me. What had caused the animal to rear, I wasn't sure. It mattered no longer, for there was no one about. The prairie was open with small rises, miles and miles of open land in every direction, the tall mountains off to the west. I had no dry clothes. No blankets. I'd eaten my bread and cheese snack an hour earlier. My plan had been to follow Dr. James to see where he went several times a week. The man had become my obsession, and his absence from town and the lack of gossip about him had made me curious. One of my adoptive mothers, Miss Esther, knew about Mr. Peter's ingrown toenail, Mrs. Ray's difficult breech birth, Bobby Cuthbert's croup, and the Maxwell twins' chickenpox. She knew nothing about Dr. James's excursions, and that meant the man was keeping them very well hidden. Like some people, I didn't care about idle gossip or any of the townspeople's ailments. I cared about what Dr. James did that no one knew about. The reason was clear and I admitted it. I was obsessed with the man. I tried to squeeze the excess water from the hem of my dress, but my fingers couldn't move. It made me think of the first time I'd seen Dr. James, when my obsession with him began. It had been one of those late fall days that was surprisingly warm, summer not willing to give way, when an Indian called Red Bear fell ill directly in front of me in the mercantile. He'd come to town to trade buffalo hides, wool, and furs. While Mr. Crane had been concerned for the man and had sent his son for Dr. James, some of the other customers did not hold Indians in such high regard. After I asked Mr. Crane for a wet cloth and a cup of water, I knelt by the man who appeared to be just overheated. I wrapped the cool cloth around his neck and waited for Dr. James to arrive. I'd never met the new doctor before, only heard of him from Miss Esther, who knew about everyone and everything within 50 miles. My married sister Rose was halfway through her first pregnancy and had gone to see him on a few occasions. Her husband, Chance, was overly protective and had taken her all the way to town early one morning for what had amounted to indigestion, so she diverted her embarrassment of an unfounded concern to share with us unmarried Lennoxes. There were 5 of us still, about how handsome the man was. Based on what Rose said, I'd expected him to be attractive when he rushed into the mercantile, but it had still been quite a surprise when he knelt beside me. His impressive physique was clearly outlined in the trim fit of his suit. His pants had stretched taut over his thigh muscles, and his dark hair was cut neatly and with precision. It had been his hands that had appealed to me most. Yes, his hands. They were big, perhaps twice the size of mine, with long, blunt fingers. Dark hair sprinkled the backs, and his skin was tanned from the long summer sun. Perhaps he didn't use those incredible hands in any remarkable sense on Red Bear, but as he assessed and tended to the Indian, I considered what they would feel like against my skin. Would there be hard calluses? Would his grip be firm or gentle? How would he touch me? Where? I licked my lips at the thought of the man tending to me in such a clinical and straightforward way. The man didn't coddle. He didn't panic and gladly took the cup of water from Mr. Crane. The ladies who fretted over an Indian collapsing in their midst were easily calmed by the doctor's forthright manner. I was relieved to see he had no issues about helping the man, and he went up in my esteem. He hadn't even broken a sweat on that warm day, unlike myself. I'd become overheated and surprisingly damp between my legs. Red Bear recovered readily enough after he'd drunk his fill.